in.
Oh, great, great, fantastic. Beautiful weather, beautiful conference. Thank you, thank you.
It's not too shabby, no. Indeed. Hey, I want to talk, we alluded to this before the recording, that I've been hearing around the conference that you had a standing room only presentation this morning.
Wow.
And reason being, I think the title of your presentation or your session was Cyber Fraud, Are You Scared Yet? I think it had a lot of people scared, and so they're flocking to your presentation. What happened?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you.
Already clapping for you.
I'll tell you, the number one issue that happens today is, like you said, education. If you don't know what you don't know, you don't know it.
Right.
And it's really scary. Mm-hmm. So it's helping them be able to understand what some of those risks are out there. What are the bad guys doing? Let's all get together and educate each other and understand what they're doing. And cyber fraud today, both internal and external, is a huge, huge risk for the credit unions. And it's top of mind for NCUA in their examinations. So I think that's why a lot of the credit unions, they wanted to learn more. Even though they're scared about it, they felt they needed to understand what was going on in the industry.
I think it's top of mind for everybody. Even if you're not in the industry, I think most any organization that deals with anything online or mobile, it's top of mind. It has to be, because we've got to stay two steps ahead of these folks.
Yes, it's huge. And there's some real simple solutions that credit unions can do.
Yeah.
One of them I wanted to bring up was daily dollar limits. So if you think of it with ACH, wires, cards, paper checks, bill pay, online banking, P2P, me to me, any of those types of transactions, credit unions should really understand what are your daily dollar limits and how much money is your member really spending in 24 hours. We're only talking about 24 hours.
Why is that? Why just 24 hours?
Because that's what the thieves do. Like if you had a credit card, a $50,000 line of credit, the bad guy can wipe that account out in 24 hours. Huge risk.
Yeah.
So really to help the credit unions understand where they should set those daily dollar limits is to look at your membership spending habits and behavior, and that will gauge how much money your members are really taking out in a 24-hour period. So it's a short window, and the bad guys, they know if you have really high limits or you have it tied to an available balance in a checking account, they're going to clean it out.
Oh, my gosh. So, for instance, if you traditionally spend, let's say, $200 a day or whatever, and then all of a sudden there's a $2,000 charge on there, then there's going to be, okay, a discrepancy. It's going to alert the credit union, so to speak, and the credit union alerts the member. Is this...
And it actually will prevent it from going through.
Right. Oh.
So if the member's going to do a large purchase item, like at my credit union, I have a $300 daily dollar limit with my debit card.
Right.
So if I'm going to do a large purchase item, I call them up, I let them know, they raise it for that transaction. You can even tell them who you're going to do the transaction with, and then they bring it back down to $200 because I don't spend more than that in 24 hours.
Right.
So it's really based on your spending habits and behavior, and that's a huge loss prevention tool that helps with a lot of these card data breaches. And so, look at it from a holistic viewpoint across all transactions.
I can't help but think of the Kardashians. What would be their dollar limit for the day?
Right.
I digress.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I was just like...
And what they do is they go out to the credit union's website, and if the credit union discloses their EFT disclosure, where they want to give it to their members, the bad guy will download it and they'll see what the daily dollar limits are if it's listed in that disclosure. So these are things that we really need to understand so we can help the credit unions manage the risk. And so I think that's why a lot of people came today to really learn what they could do.
Yeah.
And it was pretty exciting.
What are a couple of other takeaways from your session that I think that people were very interested in that they can use right away, because it sounds like there was a lot in there.
Yeah. Another one is, a lot of the credit unions have instituted the chip technology on their credit and debit cards. Some of the credit unions in the room today have done 100%, but they're still seeing fraud. Others are halfway through the reissuance cycle of getting the chip cards. Mm-hmm. Well, what the bad guys have figured out is on the mag stripe for your chip card, there's a service code that indicates that that's a chip mag stripe.
Right.
And so what the bad guys are doing, they will skim that mag stripe that has the chip identifier and put it on another piece of plastic. Then they put a fake chip on the front of the card. So if you go to a merchant and you swipe the card, the clerk will say, oh, you have a chip card. You have to insert it.
Right.
You insert it in the POS reader.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. You insert it a second time. Doesn't work.
Oh, just swipe
They turn around and the merchant says, swipe the card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes to a chip make Stripe fallback, and it's up to the credit union to put their strategies in place. Number one, do they allow it to go through? Because it could be some good members. Number two, do they require, if it goes to CHIP, make Stripe fallback, do they require the PIN for those types of authorizations?
Good point, yeah.
The third one is, do they require a dollar limit of, say, $100 and only one fallback goes through? Or the fourth one is, do they block it entirely? And it's really up to the credit union. And the card associations tell me, they go, "Ann, you knew that was going to happen." And I said, "Yes, but why do you even allow CHIP fallback?"
Yeah.
But the credit unions really need to understand, how do we have that set up for our authorization so they can manage the risk? Because it's a huge risk today.
Oh, my gosh, Ann. I mean, I address...
Very creative.
No, I talk about this all the time with other people. I mean... The experts are talking to me. I'm not talking about it. But what you're just saying here is adding a whole other level to it that I've never even heard of before. I'm sure people in your neck of the woods have heard it. I was like, are you kidding me? There's so much to digest here.
A lot of them today, Michael, had no clue this was even happening. And the problem is, only in the U.S. are we offering this CHIP make Stripe fallback. Mm-hmm. And again, it's because the merchants are saying their POS terminals are not ready. But why did they get turned on if they're not certified and tested?
Exactly.
So, you know, and then the shift in the fraud liability falls back on the credit union as a card issuer, when they thought, when we put the CHIP on the card, we could shift the fraud liability to the weakest link, which would be the merchant. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen in this case. So it's a new avenue that credits really should be aware of.
Wow. Is this like something brand new, or was this happening ever since the CHIP came about a year and a half ago or whatever, whenever
it started about probably a year or so ago.
Okay.
So it was after the fact,
and
it's because the merchants didn't get their terminals up and running.
Yep, that's the weakest link.
Weakest link, mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to take advantage of that.
So that was really big today.
Oh my gosh, Ann. Oh my gosh.
There's
a whole bunch. Is there anything else you want to add? I mean, these are short interviews, but is there anything else you want to add to kind of wrap this up here? Because it's really important.
Yeah, it's really the credit unions need to understand what's happening out there in the industry, mm-hmm. and work with their teammates and work with industry people to really understand what type of fraud is happening and how can we manage that risk. And that's going to be helping us get one step ahead of the criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's very key. And we can continue on at some point and talk more about some of the other exposures.
Oh,
because we have the ACH, we have the wires, we have the loans, we have paper checks, and, you know.
Oh gosh,
yeah,
man.
So it's,
I'm not going to want to get out of bed in the morning.
I know. But to manage that risk is ever so critical.
Yeah.
And you can't shut your doors. You have to balance the risk with the...
The convenience and all that type
of
stuff.
Right, the member service. Mm-hmm. And I think in 2017, just if I could end with this, it's very critical that we have the triangle education piece. One is the member education, mm-hmm. the credit union member education, mm-hmm. the credit union employee and volunteer education, mm-hmm. and then the third piece of the triangle is the fraud and mitigation education information.
Okay.
And if we can connect all three pieces of the triangle, it's going to be a win-win in the industry for the credit union. So thank you so much,
You're
Michael.
Welcome. Great message to end on. Ann, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
It's quite the education for me once again. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.